going to share stories this morning. This first one is called Building Homes in Honduras. This was written by Joan Wiley Storm, and she has gone on World Accords construction expeditions. She writes, "My 16-year-old daughter, Talia, and I are part of a team of 12 Canadians and two Americans helping to build cinder block homes for campesinos in two remote mountain villages. We work through a pair of non-governmental organizations, Programa de Reconstrucción Rural in Honduras, and obviously my Spanish is poor, and World Accord in Canada, in conjunction with the First Unitarian Congregation of Toronto. Weeks later, my husband totes home a poster about the World Accord construction expedition. Building skills unnecessary. Learn on the job. 2 weeks. Spanish useful but not required. It is perfect. When Talia joins the work crew, we become the first mother-daughter team to participate in a World Accord Honduras project. We launch a fundraising campaign, hoping to cover the $1,600 in construction material we are expected to contribute. Family, friends, and schools enthusiastically support us, and we raise $3,600 within weeks. Others donate school supplies, a soccer ball, sewing material, and children's clothing. Our hockey bags bulge, and we wonder happily if we will exceed the airline weight limit. Now it is early March, and we are in the embrace of this Central American country, its people and culture. We marvel at astonishing beauty as we bounce up and down the West Central Mountains in the back of our pickup truck, far removed from the tourist playgrounds on the coast. With one eye on the vultures, I fervently and simultaneously pray to the gods of adequate brakes, first gear, careful drivers, and competent mechanics. Along with supplies, I arrive with a full load of cultural ignorance. I recall the safety scissors I so carefully packed for children who are taught how to handle machetes at the age of 3. I learn to my horror that the hand gesture I have used for a full week is considered lewd and offensive. We are haunted by images of emaciated dogs so unlike our pampered pet, fed scraps by families with barely enough to eat themselves. We work hard building these two homes for Santos, Amando, and their families. With our hands, we move tons of cinder block, mix mortar and cement, make reinforcement bars, lay block, mortar cracks. By day's end, we are hot, grimy, and ready to throw in the trowel. I didn't write this one. Our Honduran foreman is patient and precise, and more than one block has to be relaid. The families will reimburse PRR for the cost of construction materials and contribute their own labor to upgrade their dirt-floored adobe buildings to the healthier and sturdier casas. Dina, a Honduran Wonder Woman, amazes us all as she repeatedly trots up a steep donkey path with 2 16-kilogram cinder blocks balanced on her shoulder, in a dress, in thong sandals. The children who gather at the worksite are curious and delighted when the fair, tall, fair-skinned strangers occasionally break from their work to play soccer and dominoes with them. They are shy and beautiful. During the final week, Talia and team member Bruce deliver soccer uniforms to 2 schools. They sing O Canada to the children and teach a short geography lesson, Bruce translating with his fluent Spanish is the highlight. We return to our campsite each workday where we have running water, bottled drinking water, electricity that works most of the time, ample prepared meals, and simple metal cots with sheets and blankets. Compared to the peasants, who on average make $3 a day, we live in absolute luxury. As well, we are without communication. No cell phones, no computers, no TV, no CNN, no W. Most of us quietly welcome this blackout and appreciate our stay in a country where orange is a fruit and not a state of alert. We know with grim certainty news will await us when we return home. By the end of 2 weeks, we are loath to leave our new friends. We have built a home, established friendships with the families and other team members, and acquired firsthand knowledge of living and working in a third world country. On our last morning in Honduras, Talia slips one of her own necklaces over little Cindy's head. Shared hugs transcend language. As we pack for the return trip, we note our hockey bags are lighter. Odd, considering we gained much more than we gave. That was written in 2003. So what does it take to get yourself into a trip just like I've read about? Well, I'm about to go on sabbatical next year. What does a minister do for a sabbatical? Sometimes it's traditional study. I could continue with the work I'm doing at Seattle University. I could make it into a doctor of ministry through San Francisco Theological College. One colleague attended several Alban Institute courses over her 6 months of sabbatical. Sometimes it's travel. Some of my colleagues have visited various Unitarian groups around the world. Another read novels on the beach in Trinidad. The purpose of a sabbatical is to get your brain working differently, to get out of your rut. This long canoe trip I'm going on is only part of my sabbatical. I figure that more than a little shaking up of my life wouldn't be such a bad idea. So I'm going on a construction build with this non-governmental agency, World Accord, next winter. I met Richard Kirsch, a key volunteer with World Accord, about 10 years ago when he made a presentation at the Canadian Unitarian Council's annual meeting. He spoke about how volunteers help people build a house or a kindergarten or maybe a cooperative building. I knew then that I wanted to do this sometime or other. Even if it was a bit scary for me, who has not done any third world traveling, to think about going to a village and not a resort where I'd be all taken care of, but to a very real village with very real needs. Rather than being a casual tourist who was concerned about the level of poverty, I would be part of a group addressing the situation, not by giving them stuff, but by giving them a hand up. Certainly that's the development philosophy World Accord subscribes to. They focus on development, helping people build their capacity to improve their own lives. World Accord works through partners and grassroots community groups there to create education, training, and self-help programs for the poor. Decision-making and implementation responsibility is in their hands. World Accord's website quotes Benjamin Disraeli, "Development is not just sharing our riches, but revealing to others their own." Their development goals include community building, environmental conservation, and gender awareness. That is, they get both the women and the men involved in community development and in implementing the program that they develop. They promote sustainable agriculture and food production through local community organizations. They don't figure that putting a Canadian boss down there is good use of funds. The locals know better anyway. It's a collaborative effort. Some folks from Canada and the U.S. and the locals who are benefiting. World Accord works with several different organizations in different countries. Some are in Central America, some are elsewhere, Sri Lanka, Nepal. They also do education, consciousness-raising work in Canada. They want Canadians to understand development issues, trusting that understanding will lead to a sharing of resources and energy. It's all about learning to be a global citizen. I haven't been there, so I can't really speak from personal experience. But I did speak to my friend Elaine yesterday, who's been on 5 builds. She always went with her partner, Jack. When Jack died last summer, they decided to build a school in Honduras in his name. The family and some friends will be the gringos helping to build it. I am honored to be joining them. I wasn't able to attend the memorial service for Jack, but I found part of the write-up online on the World Accord site. I had met Jack through Elaine. When I knew him most, he was a member of the Unitarian Church of Edmonton and was one of their most natural greeters. He talked to everybody. When he died, he left a gift of $10,000 from an insurance policy to the Edmonton Church. This month, the Unitarian Churches of Edmonton's monthly cash contributions, I'm forgetting whether they give away half of their cash contributions or all of it. I think it's all of it. To a different charity each month. This month, it's for the school in Honduras. When I asked Elaine what it was that drew her back to Central America again and again, her response was that it had something to do with being able to make a real difference in the lives of at least a few people. Something about evening out the distribution of wealth in some small way. And it's because she cares about the people she's met there. She's a Unitarian who tries to live out the principles we say we stand for. Justice and equity, and the goal of one world community. She sees the role and the status of women, especially in Guatemala, where she has been more than once, improving. They take on more and they aim higher. They've learned to work together. She wonders if this is at least partly due to the number of men who aren't there anymore, thanks to war. Kindergartens are popular projects because then the older girls get to go to school. They see gringas working along with the men, and they are inspired to do such work themselves. It wasn't common for a young Guatemalan woman to carry blocks. That was men's work. But they are inspired to do such work for themselves when their children will benefit from the education. Elaine says they ask the question, why do you come? They find it hard to believe that others care about their well-being. Another volunteer says, it's an important piece that North Americans think enough of them to encourage them to make a better life. Elaine is one of those people in my life who inspire me in several ways. First, I cannot complain that I'm too old to go on this canoe trip, or I'm too old to go on this construction build. She and Jack did it when they were in their 60s and 70s. He was 81 when he decided his body wouldn't let him do it anymore. And Elaine has always prompted me to ask questions like, how do I live my life? Do I practice what I preach? How do I want to live my life? These questions always follow me. Elaine says the food is plentiful, but very plain. The living conditions are Spartan, but safe. They have showers and clean water to drink. The construction is hand labor. They say like heavy-duty garden work. It's mixing concrete by hand, laying concrete blocks one by one by hand. She says it's always okay to take a break, but you know the work is always waiting. So this is an invitation and a challenge. Would you personally be interested in coming to Honduras for the build in February? I'm going to stay for the second build, the one that's open to anybody. Would you be interested in contributing some time or money for the fundraising? I'm hoping that Beacon can send a few folks, can raise some money. I realize that I'm putting my trust in you without much consultation. I thought that there would be time for all of this in the fall. But Richard tells me that this February trip is going to fail quickly. It would be best to make your commitment by June. So if you tell me that you're at all interested, I'm going to pass him your name and email address, and he'll do the follow-up because I'm leaving town after next week. There's lots of information online to think about it, get more information. I'm sure he will respond to your questions. I'd love to have company in February. I want to close with another story, this one from Elaine. She is telling the story of going to Guatemala and helping to build a training and storage facility for a women's agricultural cooperative. At our first meeting with the women of the co-op, those that could come, Amanda made a speech and then invited some of the women to speak too. They told us how important it was for them that we women were working alongside the men and doing the same kind of work. One woman asked if someone had made us come. They told us that God would reward us. Then some of us said a few words. Mine were, it was very important to me to be here. I believe in one world, and you are my sisters. Elaine concludes, It was such a rich experience, a mosaic of new and different foods, climate, vistas, accommodation, transportation. There is nothing in the cities, the countryside, the villages, that allows me to think for 1 minute that I am at home. The warmth and graciousness of the people, the shy curiosity of the children, add immeasurably to my memories of this expedition. It was especially meaningful for me to be working with and for women. On 2 separate days, women from the cooperative came to the site and worked with us. That's the first time. It was good for my feminist soul to be there with women working against such odds to better their lives and the lives of their children. It responds to my sense of helplessness, which surfaces when I think of the world situation. This experience responds with, this is something I can do. And you can too. Amen.